This is the SF Signal Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Patrick Hester, and I'm an author, a blogger, a podcaster, and a Hugo Award winner. And in this episode, we are going to talk about gifts, specifically what to give the genre slash nerdy fan in your family. And it's not gift cards, people. Come on, put a little heart into it this year, okay? Joining me on this journey into retail wonderland are the following great folks, plus Fred. We're going to start with Rhea. Hi, Rhea.
Hello.
How are you?
Not too bad. It's been a long day.
It has been a long day. We finally got hit by snow.
Everywhere is getting snow but me, and I'm in Canada. I should be getting all the snow by this point.
Well, you see, actually, Canada sent it to us, so this I consider this a first strike.
Blame Canada.
I do. I was joking about that. I'm like, Canada. So you finally decided to make your first move, huh?
They're coming for us.
Yep. Winter is coming. No one understood that when Martin wrote that he actually meant Canada. So Rhea, tell people who you are, what you do, what your website is, your Twitter, your social media, all that good stuff.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say social security. It has been a long day. So I'm Rhea. I run Bibliotropic, which is found at bibliotropic.net. I do book reviews. And I also have been doing book reviews, a couple of them anyway, for SF Signal. Not too many, but I'll be getting more out there in the future.
Good.
If you want to stalk me on Twitter, I'm there at Bibliotropic. And same thing for Facebook. I can't remember exactly the URL, but if you search Bibliotropic, I'm there.
And if you befriend Rhea on Skype at some point, and you're actually on a conversation with her, you will actually get the finger from her avatar. Her avatar gives you a finger with a black fingernail, it looks like. So, yes. It's kind of rude.
It comes with the snow.
We also have with us, this is going to be a surprise to people because they haven't heard him before on this podcast over and over again. It's Django Wexler.
Yay! Am I already wearing out my welcome?
It's you only been are like- not.
Been like 6 weeks since I started writing for SF Signal.
No, I actually someone said that you have brought a breath of fresh air to the Aww. Podcast. So and that was basically after I told them that you had the entirely wrong topic ready to go.
Oh yeah. that was embarrassing.
And so you've written a book.
I have. It's called The Thousand Names. It's available at fine bookstores everywhere and probably at some less fine ones. I don't know. I don't frequent that sort of bookstore. And I have another book coming out in April, which I have kind of on the brain right now because I'm doing some editing, called The Forbidden Library for Kids.
Are there bookstores that are like bad bookstores? You know, I'm trying to think like, well, here, you would think here in Denver that it would be on Colfax, but that's actually where Tattered Cover is, and Tattered Cover is not a bad bookstore. But I'm just wondering, like, are they, you know, is there like a really bad bookstore somewhere in a bad part of town, like next to the Greyhound bus station?
Yeah, I'm trying to picture what that would be like and what sort of books they would have there.
Well, there are bad libraries.
Yeah, that's true.
What's a bad library?
Look at the library at the Unseen University in Pratchett's Discworld.
Now I'm wondering if it says something about my city that next to the Greyhound bus station, we have a nurse's station. Come to St. John, all the diseases for free.
The old library in my town, which is actually where I had my first job as a teenager, they had to decommission the old building because the weight of the shelves was bowing in the second floor.
Wow.
And there was some real danger of it falling to pieces. So that would have been bad if it had collapsed and sent thousands of tons of books down on people.
Yes, it would have. Well, that's the way Fred intends to go.
I see.
Hi, Fred.
Yeah, I could see that.
Hi, Patrick.
And just so people understand, I mean, you can find Django. It's pretty simple. You just go to Django Wexler, yeah. and you can find him online. So that's why I didn't push him to do his social media stuff. Anyway, hi, Fred.
Hi, Patrick.
How's it going?
Fine.
Now, Fred, on the other hand, his last name is a little bit difficult to spell, so.
H-E-S-T-E-R?
Now, you are no longer blogging over at the Lensman's Children.
No, I am now blogging at Bernal, B-E-R-N-A-L, Alpha. And someday Patrick will learn what that means.
But I not doubt quite it. Yet. I doubt it. Or if I do, I'll forget. To be honest with you, I don't even remember at this point what the Lensman's Children was all about.
And I'm also on Twitter as @FredKish.
He's not even going to touch that, is he?
And I am sometimes even on this podcast.
Yes, you are. And then you have another one.
Yes, we do.
And I saw you were, someone was saying that you had reminded them about something or other today and that they were all excited and wanted to reread something.
Yes, it was announced earlier today that Samuel R. Delaney is going to be the next Grandmaster from the Science Fiction Writers of America. And our most recent minus one episode of the Three Horsemen, we covered Samuel R. Delaney's book Nova in depth. So we were ahead of the curve for once.
Interesting. Now, Jeff is planning on joining us, but he's not here yet. While he's not here, do you want to go ahead and say when you guys are going to be recording next and get him back?
Well, we were going to be recording next week, but due to some family circumstances that I'm experiencing, I'm not quite sure when we're going to be able to do that.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I will have to spend the week in the land of very little internet. So
we'll see. You're going to Arkansas?
No, Pennsylvania.
Ah. I figured it was Arkansas. Or Canada. Yeah.
Or hell.
Well, it's a part of Pennsylvania that greatly resembles Arkansas, so there you go.
Rhea hasn't had to put up with all my Canadian bashing yet.
She'll learn.
Not all of it.
I do it out of love. A lot of friends of mine are Canadian.
We have to be careful here because we're too close to them. They could storm down out of the border at any moment.
They could storm? Is that a joke? Because they send the snow to us?
No. But we don't get snow here, though, so it's not.
It's supposed to be minus 10 tomorrow here in Denver. Yikes.
It's supposed to be 67 here. Why don't you move to Jersey?
Well, it's because, to be honest with you, I'm so fair-skinned, I cannot tan.
In that case, you should live in Seattle. It's cloudy 9 months of the year.
That's true.
I have actually gotten a sunburn on a cloudy day, so let's not even talk about that. All right, so we are actually going to talk about gifts, as I mentioned. I'm going to get us started with one, and then I'll go to one of you, and you can tell me all of yours. I found one that I thought was pretty cool. It's Joe Kubert Presents by Paul. I'm going to start that completely over. It's Joe Kubert Presents by Pete Carlson, who's the writer-letterer. You also have Brian Buniak as a writer-artist, Sam Glansman as a writer-artist, Henrik Jonsson as an artist, Adam Kubert as a letterer, Joe Kubert as a writer-artist, Paul Levitz, Joe Panico, Brandon Vietti, Jason Wright, and Scott Nabakin. And this is from DC, and Kubert wrote a couple of different characters. Sergeant Rock was one, and I believe Hawk Woman and Hawkman.
So this is really old school then.
It is, yes. And it's they kind of gave him free will to do some stories, and then he brought in all these other people, and it's 300 pages of comics, and it's all for $20.
Wow,
and
nice.
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it. There's a bunch of different places that have it. And it's even printed on old school comic book paper. So nice. it really holds the color and is going to be really vibrant. It's a really neat collection, and I wanted to throw that out there for comic book fans. Now, Rhea, I said that I'd let you go first. Why don't you tell us what you found?
We were supposed to find five things, yes?
Yes.
Because I only found four.
That's okay.
I have surprisingly few genre fans that I know in real life, so...
I'll make up for it, don't worry.
Okay. And most of mine were fairly generic, like I can't say, you know, I would get them this book, but the first thing that I thought of was a shopping spree at Indigo Books, which I don't know if Indigo is one of those things that's in the States, giant bookstore chain, really not sure if you guys know.
I think it's around here.
No.
All the Indigo references I've ever seen have been Canadians, but we have some equivalents.
Well, I think it might be Canadian only because I know the books in Canada are region coded, so
they explode when you take them across the border.
Well, that's why the book prices are higher here. Remember that. But yeah, a shopping spree at Indigo because there is nothing like just browsing shelves and trying to find an awesome book or five.
Now, is there a price limit on the shopping spree? Or is it like, I'm taking you and you can buy whatever you want?
I'm thinking $50.
Okay. That's not so bad. You could get a lot of stuff for
people
$50.
Might want to join my family now.
Yeah, what, you can get a
you
lot.
You can have whatever you can get in 10 minutes. You have to just sweep it off the shelves like on that old show.
Oh, we I could, have always yeah. wanted a shopping spree like that.
You know, Food Network is doing Guy Fieri has the new show, the shopping cart or the shopping challenge or whatever. You could do something like that where you give him a cart and say, everything you can fit in this cart in the next 10 minutes, I'll buy.
With books, that would be very expensive.
Well, no, you give them the little. I'm talking about the. So I'm a single guy. When I say cart, I mean the basket.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't do carts.
Fair enough.
Or you could buy one of the cloth bags. And say whatever you can fill into this bag, I'll buy.
That's true.
That could also be fun.
So that is a cool one. And what I would suggest is here south of the border, you could do that at Barnes & Noble, or you could do that at Tattered Cover or any of the independent booksellers that are out there. And if you're anywhere else outside of the North American continent, I'm sure they have booksellers that can do the same thing. So that's a very good idea.
Always good for the book lovers.
Yes, absolutely.
One of the other things I thought of was, I'm sure everybody is familiar with the site Etsy for all the handmade stuff.
Yes.
There are so many awesome things on that site that people have made. If you just go on there and search like Lord of the Rings, you can find scarves with a map of Middle Earth printed on them, or replicas of the jewelry, or a dozen and one awesome things there.
Very cool. Yeah, I have an item from that on my list that I'm going to be talking about later.
And one of I am tongue-tied and I don't like it.
That's okay.
Feel free to cut that part out. The biggest thing that I'm actually going to try and give this to my roommate this year is time. Because at the moment, she is in school full time. She's about as much of an avid reader as me, except she's read about half a book since September because she's been so busy with classes. So if there is a way that I can, you know, take care of all the household stuff for a while and she can just relax and read and catch up on all the reading that she's missed. And that I know is one of those things that, you know, a lot of people in your life might like it. You'll do the laundry and they'll lie on the couch and read.
Or if you have a writer in your life, and you can give them time as well and allow them a little bit of time to maybe work on their next book that's due out in April.
Yeah, totally.
Hint, hint.
Hint, hint. If I jinx you, does that count?
Yes, now he owes you a Coke.
Yes!
So that is that three? That was three. So you got one more.
That was three. The only other thing I could think of is an e-reader, because it's like carrying an entire library in your back pocket, and that's just awesome.
Now, which e-reader would you recommend? Because I know that Fred has been through 12.
Oh, wow.
And he keeps having to rebuy all the books because they keep taking them away from him.
Yeah, it's partly true.
Only partly. The only one I actually have any experience with at all is a Kindle, so mm-hmm. I really can't speak to which one because I only really know one. But my Kindle's worked so far, so.
I enjoy my Kindle, and I know I bought my mom, and I've said this before on this podcast and on Functional Nerds, I bought my mom a Kindle, 2 years ago? And she's reading more than ever now because she can adjust the font size. I think that's like the coolest thing for her. She's, 72, 73, something like that? So
I know some people for whom that is like the killer feature of e-readers.
And now they've got the Paperwhite, mm-hmm. which is supposed to be super cool. So I think anything that gets people to read more is great. So if you guys can come up with, I think actually everything Rhea said we need to give to DiNardo. We need to give him some time. We need to get him an e-reader. All that good stuff. We need to get him like a shopping spree at a bookstore. And then he can just read like a thousand different things, like all in one weekend. He'd be so happy. And joining us now, who's a little bit late, is Mr. Jeff Patterson. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on, folks? Sorry I'm late. Jeff Patterson, blog at Gravity Lens, which can be found at baddaystudio.com. Jeff Patterson 11 on Twitter, and I'm happy to be here with everyone.
Great. And Rhea, stop typing.
Okay. is that thing still coming in through my...
Yeah, it sounds like it sounds like thunder. It's like...
Okay, I adjusted the speaker, so it's not supposed to do that, but I will stop.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it.
Don't worry.
You normally put on your resume that you type like thunder.
That'll get me a job.
So, Jeff, what was your excuse for being late?
My department had their little holiday shindig because most of them are normally in Colorado, but they were out here this week.
Was it a shindig?
Huh?
Was it a shindig?
It was a bit of a shindig. It had a little bit of a white elephant gift exchange. I ended up with fuzzy slippers.
Aww.
Are they Hello Kitty fuzzy slippers?
No, they're not. They're plain old pedestrian fuzzy slippers.
Oh, okay. They're not like Lion King, or there's no characters or anything on them?
No. Nothing ironic.
You work at a pretty vanilla place, don't you?
Yes, not really. I work with a lot of diverse ethnic groups, first-generation diverse ethnic groups.
Interesting. Well, what you missed is Rhea gave us five, or actually she gave us four things that were on her list, and I don't think any of them are going to be on yours, so we're okay. Good to go there. I also mentioned something that's you would actually like. It's Joe Kubert Presents, and it's 300 pages, $20. It's a DC collection, Hawkman, Hawkwoman, Sergeant Rock, a bunch of other stuff in there. So
yes, I saw that. Very cool.
So now you are caught up, and if we were on radio, repeating all that would have been good for new listeners. But since we're not, I'm just going to move forward.
if you're just joining us.
Yeah. Let's... Fred is going to have a billion things on his list. So, Fred, I might keep you for last. Let's go to Jenga.
Sure. All righty. So, like Rhea, I approach this in a kind of a generic way because my experience is that recommending particular books is always kind of fraught with peril because a really true genre fan already has a giant number of books and has pre-ordered all the ones they want. So I was going to say that, you know, you should buy them the fantasy novel The Thousand Names, which is really an excellent book and all over. I can just recommend it. But a real true genre fan would already own it. So we can move on. So these are some gifts that have worked for me in the past with various genre fans. I know we said no gift cards, but...
Well, I said that.
Yeah. If you have someone who you think would benefit from audiobooks, I cannot recommend audible.com enough. That I used to listen to audiobooks off, you know, CDs and getting them from the library or buying them for the outrageous prices that they charge. And when I got clued into audible.com, it was just a revelation. You know, you can, for $7.99 a month, you get one book a month, and it's just great. You know, so that
I don't have a problem with that one. Yeah, I don't have a problem. My thing is like when someone goes and they go to the grocery store and there at the checkout is the big rack of gift cards.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I need a Best Buy and I need an Olive Garden and I need and then they just kind of hand them out. I hate that.
But one of my stepsisters and I agreed to a gift detente after a year in which I got her a Barnes & Noble gift card and she got me a Barnes & Noble gift card. And we're like, this is really stupid.
I've made it clear for probably 7 years that I will never set foot in a Target again. I will never buy anything there. I will never spend any money there. I will do nothing to promote them whatsoever. I'm done with them. And my family continues to get me Target gift cards.
Wow. But anyway, so Audible's great. And, you know, it made my commutes bearable while I had a commute to do. And it makes my exercise bearable.
Sure.
So I highly recommend that. Another nice thing that a lot of for genre readers, if you go onto a couple of art sites, DeviantArt is probably the best one, and look at the different genre arts, you can often buy prints for very reasonable prices.
Yes.
And then take that down to your local frame shop. You want, you know, one of the ones where there's an actual human being behind the counter and they know what they're doing because they do a pretty good job. At least the one near me does. And I've gotten some really nice pieces done that way with just, you know, a nice print and a good frame. And that those made great gifts.
And if you don't have a frame place in your area, I believe you have to look up, is it Trina Marie Phillips is an author. And I believe she also does framing. So I don't know what city she's in, but you need to go look her up.
The frame place near me is called Framer versus Framer. For some reason, frame places always seem to have silly puns in their names. But the woman who works there really knows her stuff, and she's done a bunch of good work. Sort of in the same vein, you know, I like to paint miniatures. So I have on occasion given those as gifts. If you're not into like gaming, it's maybe a bit of a surprise that there's these gigantic lines of miniatures. So you can get one that probably matches just about anybody's personal tastes. And then if you're not a painter yourself, there are painting services on eBay that will do a really good job for you, that are not too expensive. So like, you know, if you want someone to have like a cool dragon or, you know, knights or space marines or whatever it is that person is into, you can, you know, browse through either, you know, the Games Workshop line or the Privateer Press line or Reaper Miniatures. And there's a bunch of miniature companies, and then go on eBay and look up a painting service and, get that done. Then that's a really cool kind of custom gift for people.
I would also suggest that you could go to a local science fiction convention, and in the dealer room, they will have miniatures that are already painted and ready to go. You could buy one of those, wrap it up, give it to someone, and tell them that you painted it.
That's possible, although they might demand to see some evidence or ask.
Well, no, and then you say, well, look, I did it. I'm over it. I'm moving
done. On. I threw all my brushes away.
Because, you know, in high school, I went to Jason's house, Jason Nee, and he had all the miniatures, and he had everything, and he painted them all, and they looked gorgeous. And I was like, wow, this is just awesome. All for Dungeons & Dragons. And I said, this is just so cool. How do you do this? He's like, well, you know, you buy them at Game Preserve, and then you can get all the paints and everything at the hobby shop, and then you can just paint them on. I was like, oh, man, this is so cool. And I went to my mom, and I'm like, this is, you know, I really want to do this. She's like, okay. And so I got a couple of Dungeons and Dragons miniatures, and I got all the paints and everything. And I want to say it looked, as Jeff has mentioned, you know, I keep drawing and I don't get any better.
I have that problem with drawing.
Yeah,
painting might have improved.
My miniatures did not look good. It looked like something the Joker had painted, you know, with the big red around the lips and green hair. And it was horrible. So,
Jackson Pollock.
I'm all for, you know, the dealer room. So, what else you got, Django?
I should also mention just the last bit of that previous one is if you have a local game store, go there and look for minis because they'll have them all laid out for you. And I always approve of supporting local game stores. In the same vein, there's a lot of great sci-fi fantasy board games that are a lot of fun. The one we've been playing a lot of is a co-op game called Sentinels of the Multiverse, which is pretty popular and you see it all over the place. But in that, each person gets a deck and you take on the role of a superhero, and then there's another deck that represents the villain, and it kind of runs automatically and you sort of collectively win or lose.
You said deck with an E, right?
Yes, deck.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But there's other games like Lords of Waterdeep is a popular fantasy one, and there's some for every taste. So you can look on Board Game Geek or, again, go to your local hobby shop and check that out. That's always a good idea.
I keep waiting for them to come out with the Mystic Wizards of Ka'a.
If there's a joke there, I am not following.
It's from The Big Bang Theory. It's the game they play.
Oh, I hate that show, so I've never watched it.
Oh, my God.
If you want, we can do a whole podcast on why I hate The Big Bang Theory, but it's probably not that interesting. The fifth one, the one actual book I'll recommend, because it's not one that many people have read, is a book called Villains by Necessity by Eve Forward, which is just a wonderful kind of parody, satirical take on the fantasy genre. It takes place in a world where good has triumphed and evil has been defeated, and the last few villains in the world sort of band together to try and go on an epic quest to restore evil to the world. It's just wonderful. It's out of print now, and so you'd have to track down a used copy, but I love that book. So if you have a fantasy lover in your life and they haven't read it, which is pretty likely because it's been out of print for a while, and for some reason there's no ebook copy, and you can find a used copy, that is always a great gift.
Very cool.
And that's it.
So before I go on to Jeff, which I'll probably let go next, I want to throw out, we talked about Etsy before with Rhea, and I found there are, so if you have an ebook reader, does anybody like have a cover for your ebook reader? Rhea, do you have one?
I think I know what you're talking about, so I'm going to say yes.
I don't.
Fred, do you have one?
Yes, I do. All of them do.
Okay, Jeff, do you have an ebook reader?
I have one on my tablet, yep.
And you have a cover, okay. You can get custom ebook covers. And one of the cool ones that I found was you can get one that looks like the book from The NeverEnding Story.
Nice.
And it's $60, but it's handmade. It's suede wood, and it'll fit. They got one for Kindle. They got one for iPad. They got one for the Galaxy. It's got leather, suede, wood, all this kind of stuff. It ships from Boulder. It's actually made here in Boulder. And it looked super cool. And they have a lot of other ones. So, like, if there are specific books from specific kind of genre things and movies in different places, you can get one. They have them. They make them. And that's like awesome. I said, it's around $60. So I thought that was super cool. And I wanted to share that.
One thing people were doing at Comic-Con...
didn't talk about what people do at Comic-Con.
It stays in San Diego, what happens in San Diego. They would have these Kindle reader covers, and they'd come up to us when we were doing autographings and, you know, ask us to sign it with a paint pen. And the idea, I think, is that you get the cover to be signed by a bunch of different authors until it's full, and then you, like, hang it on the wall and get a new cover.
Oh, that's neat.
But that could also be a cool gift, is a Kindle cover that you get signed if you have, you know, if you're at a convention or otherwise meet an author that you know the giftee is a fan of.
That is very cool. By the way, I was curious, did anybody see today that they have cast Wonder Woman in the new Batman versus Superman movie?
I'm depressed to hear that Wonder Woman is going to be in the movie. Is Batman and Superman not enough?
Well, they're going to have Wonder Woman's going to be in. The Flash is going to be in it.
Oh, God. So it's going to be the whole Justice League.
They're going to start it, yeah. Anyway, it's an actress called Gal, GALGADOT. It's probably French.
I should state for the record that I am absolutely not against, like, a Wonder Woman movie in any way, shape, or form. That would be awesome, but just cramming a bunch more characters into this Superman Batman movie seems like a stupid idea.
Yes,
like if they're gonna do Wonder Woman, they should make a Wonder Woman movie and make it good.
And I don't understand why they didn't cast, you know, Kevin Smith as Wonder Woman. So, because I figure if Ben Affleck's gonna be in it, somewhere is gonna be Smith. And the other guy, Matt Damon, and who knows? It's going to be...
Maybe we can cast up Kevin Smith and, like, I don't know.
Careful.
All right. I'll stop there.
You don't want the Kevin Smith fans coming after you.
Yeah, I know.
They'd chase you down. They'd be really slow. You could probably outrun them, but... anyway, let's go to Jeff.
Hey, what's going on?
How's it going?
Not too bad. Fred, haven't we met here before?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It's like a bad dream.
It is.
You have no idea. It
keeps going over and over and over again. We are recording, right, Patrick?
Yes, okay, we are.
So,
and once again, we are in contractual violation because John Stevens, two of us are on, but John Stevens is not. Once again, we are violating our contract with SF Signal.
So does that mean I can never have Karen Burnham without Karen Lord?
That's correct.
Wow.
Or Gary and Jonathan.
I've had both of them on.
Mondy Boy and can't remember her name. There are pairs and triplets. You cannot break up. They're like sets.
There are far too many rules, man. This is like playing Fizbin, you know?
Or the Mystic whatever.
Here we go. Okay, so I got a few things. Number one, and I didn't even know that this got released until today. Apparently, Marvel just put out volume one of the omnibus of Fantastic Four by John Byrne.
Wow.
Which is, Amazon currently has it for $85. And apparently, it also includes quite a few tie-ins from Marvel Team Up and Marvel 2-in-1. Looks like it covers two issues, 215 through 262, dropping a few that some other artists did. I was a huge fan of Byrne's work on the Fantastic Four. He made it very science fiction-y, and was never at a loss of bringing in guest characters for appearances and stuff like that. I recently reread the Byrne FFs about 2 years ago and really, really enjoyed them. So that was my first item. Something that is, I'm actually digging into my list of things that I'm buying other people, so don't tell anyone. One friend of mine, I'm definitely going to be getting a book that I found by Chris Nashawati, and it's called Crab Monsters, Teenage Cavemen, and Candy Stripe Nurses, Roger Corman, King of the Bee Movie. And it looks like it has lots of production stills and lots of concept art, which I'm really looking forward to, because I do love looking at the concept art of trashy bee movies. That's currently on Amazon for $25 and change. And that looks like a neat read. I hope it gets here well before Christmas so I can read it before I give it to someone. Two Star Trek items that caught my eye. One I actually saw at a bookstore last weekend. It is called Stuck on Star Trek. It is by Joe Coroney, Coroney. And it is basically it's cutouts of the characters done in like a sticky Mylar, and you put them on the backgrounds. They used to be called color forms, and it looks basically it's like it's got a picture of the bridge, and they're all done kind of in the style of the animated series too, which I really like. And there's a Gorn, and there's a picture of the bridge, and there's a couple of alien landscapes, and Amazon has that for $15.96 currently, and there is a pretty decent preview of it on Amazon as well that I really liked.
I think I may have owned something like that when I was about 10.
Yeah, this looks like it's a new item. The other
Hey Jeff.
Yes.
That sounds cool.
I liked it. Something else that I'm picking up, which is quite seasonal, but it looks very humorous. It's a book by Paul Ruditis, Ruditis. It is called A Very Klingon Christmas, and it is a painted picture book that tells the true story of Christmas with a K, with the conceit that humans actually co-opted Christmas from the Klingons. And it's done in a very Rockwell-ish style. And once again, there's an excellent preview of it up on Amazon. And I saw some really nice spreads of it on a few other websites as well. A Very Klingon Christmas, Christmas.
You haven't read Shakespeare until you've read him in the original.
Yeah, that's actually how I found this thing. I was looking around for various Klingon Shakespeare books for somebody, and just for ha-has, I typed in Klingon Christmas, thinking I would not find anything, and lo and behold, I was wrong. How many was that? Three or four? That was four.
One, two, three. Well, if you count the Star Trek thing twice, then four.
Why would I count it twice?
Then it's only three.
Okay, no. No, Star Trek, Klingon, Crab Monsters, John Byrne, and for number five, I'm going to go with, I'm going to go really weird. There's a couple of books I want to mention, but I'm going to go weird. If anyone's into prog rock in your life, there is a new album by the band Aryon, A-Y-R-E-O-N, called The Theory of Everything. It is a two-disc rock opera about the various scientists' quest for the underlying fabric of quantum reality and how it affects the relationships with their loved ones. It has tons of lead singers, guys from King Crimson and Yes, and all kinds of other musicians are on it. It's basically four 20-minute-long pieces, as is the want of all decent true prog rock. It's pretty interesting. It really starts hoving into full-blown stage musical territory at parts, but there was a lot of really catchy stuff on it. And it's a nice little niche, bit of weirdness for the prog rock science geek, science fiction fan in your life.
I bet Patrick knows somebody that would like that.
I probably do, yes. All right, before I get to the other Jeff, I want to talk about something that lit up Twitter when I tweeted this. It's the Doctor Who TARDIS tea infuser. This is exclusive. You can only get it through ThinkGeek. It's $19.99, so $20. And it looks like the TARDIS. It has a little sonic screwdriver on a chain so that you can, hang it on the side of your cup.
Nice.
And it holds loose leaf tea for brewing.
Wow.
And I had tagged Gail on Twitter with this, and she thought it was cool, so she retweeted it, and it was kind of like Neil Gaiman, tweeting a link to your website. Suddenly my mentions column on Twitter exploded. So apparently all of Gail's fans really, really, really like tea.
Say one thing there, sure. I was going through the Neaterama shop last night or the night before, and I did notice that they had quite a few novelty themed tea infusers.
There's a Death Star one I know.
Yeah, but they had some really oddball ones. They're not leaping to mind right now, but a couple of them had me really laughing out loud when I thought they were neat. One of them is an actual diving bell, I think, and nice. A deep sea helmet or something along those lines. But they have an entire section of tea infusers, which I was like, oh, so this is a thing now.
If you're looking for something for the sci-fi / fantasy author on the podcast who happens to like anime, you could always get something like Robotech the Shadow Chronicles that we know that he hasn't seen yet. If we've listened to a future... Oh, I'm actually doing a timey-wimey thing. If you listen to a future episode of The Functional Nerds, you'll learn that there is a certain author who hasn't seen this movie yet. So that could be something that would amuse him for about 20 minutes.
Patrick?
Yes?
Can you actually talk without using your hands?
No. I totally can't. I am definitely a hand talker. Why?
No, we're referencing back our last episode.
Oh, I've Brett, he's time. Horrible at this. He really
Man.
Is.
Feed the guy a straight line, and he just like stumbles over it.
Thank you for enjoying that.
I thought so. The other thing I was going to say, you could get a certain sci-fi fantasy author who likes anime would be Robotech 2: The Sentinels, the role-playing game.
Oh, I have that.
You have that one. Oh, okay. Then never mind.
I have it. I at one point had a complete collection of the Palladium Games. Robotech role-playing games, although I think now I only have a few of them left. I'm not sure what happened to the rest. They're down in my defunct role-playing games
library. Did you ever actually read the Robotech 2 The Sentinels comic books?
No, I didn't read the comic books.
Yeah, they were a pain in the ass. They came just like with everything else Robotech, they came out slow. Yeah. There was 10 pages in the book that were actually part of the story, and then the other 50 pages was crap. It was that whole thing. So anyway.
Although if you know a certain podcast host who likes Robotech a lot, there's a Robotech tactical board game coming out from a buddy of mine, actually, and working with Palladium Books. And they have miniature Viratex and rules for transforming and battle pods and stuff. It was a really successful Kickstarter from the guys who made Super Dungeon Explorer.
Oh, that's cool. That is pretty cool. There's also a game called Eclipse Board Game that a certain podcast host thought looked pretty cool when he was searching on Amazon.
I have the Eclipse Board Game. It's excellent, although plasma torpedoes are broken. They're too good.
Now, if you truly loved your podcast host, you'd find the World of Warcraft board game for him, which is very difficult to find because I don't think they make it anymore. But anyway.
I have that too. But
shut up!
Sorry. It was a terrible game, if it helps.
So this episode is the things not to bother getting me.
So I know that Fred has a big long list. So why don't we get started on that, Fred?
Okay. It's actually not a really big long list.
Well, I told you five, so I'm expecting 30.
Well, I did make multiple choices for each single thing.
I'm shocked.
I started off with a book, which I actually was going to try and read tonight ahead of the podcast, but it appears that either my dog or my daughter has borrowed it and hidden it from me, probably so they can read it. And that is Jeff Vandermeer's Wonder Book, which came out, I think, in September. And it's, I guess the best way to explain it would be, it's sort of a book about writing and being inspired to write, especially genre stuff. And it's chock full of essays by various people, lots and lots of wonderful art. I almost wish he or his publisher had been able to do this as a larger hardcover coffee table style book, just so that you could get a better view of the pictures. But I think that's going to be under a lot of trees this year.
Interesting. Okay, that's cool.
And then I went with games and Fantasy Flight Games has been doing quite a number of genre-related games. They've done some H.P. Lovecraft games. They've done some Warhammer games. And they've done some Star Trek games, Battlestar Galactica, I think. But
they have a Game of Thrones one, I know.
Yes, Game of Thrones. Actually, several Game of Thrones games. There's miniatures, there's collectible cards, etc. In this case, I'm going to recommend the Star Wars X-Wing miniatures game.
Ooh, that's a good one.
You can find just about anywhere now. I mean, regular bookstores, speaking of bookstores, have it.
Stay on target.
It's not only appears to be a good game, but also the miniatures are, getting back to some previous comments, they're pre-painted so that you can either use them in gaming or use them to adorn your study or whatever, or your monitor or whatever. I mean, they've got Boba Fett's ship. They have things like the X-Wing bomber, the TIE bomber, the Millennium Falcon. They're even, I think, planning on coming out with a Star Destroyer or a Super Star Destroyer, which at that scale is going to be one heck of a miniature.
Well, which is it? A Star Destroyer or a Super Star Destroyer?
Well,
I can tell you it's not a Super Star Destroyer because at that scale, a Super Star Destroyer would be like 40 feet long.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
And it might be a Star Destroyer then. But, you know, that's like a year or 2 years down the road before that comes out.
That'd be awesome. If it was 40 feet long, I would totally buy it.
Hey, why not? Everybody needs something to put in the garage, right?
Have you seen?
I would mount it on the roof of my house.
Hey, what you do on the top of your house is your own business. Hey, there's a web comic, and it shows like this. It shows a guy and a girl is setting up all of these Warhammer 40K pieces on the table. And she's like, man, I really am into this Warhammer 40K, and I love the tournaments and this and that. And she's setting up all her pieces. She's like, where are your pieces? He's like, you're setting yours up on top of them. And his Warhammer thing is like the whole table. It's like this gigantic whatever. Anyway, that reminded me of it. Go ahead, Fred. Stay on target.
Okay. We're going back now to books again. And I brought this up in the most recent episode of Three Horsemen, where we discussed gift ideas for 2013.
The Three Horsemen, what's that?
It's another podcast, Patrick.
Oh, cool.
Also found at your fine website known as SF Signal.
Nice.
But I will once again recommend the two volumes of the Sandman Omnibus, Sandman being the comic that Neil Gaiman did throughout the 80s. And these are beautiful editions where everything's been recolored, sized nicely. I don't think it's got the same layout as the trade paperbacks. So in some cases, I think they were able to flip things around, take better advantage of the page size. And they're also big enough to be used as blunt instruments if somebody breaks into your house and tries to steal your book collection.
Nice.
And I will finish with, I got a recommendation from my daughter. Speaking of thief who stole my copy of Jeff Vandermeer's book. She recommended the Lego franchise games that are for the DS or the PS, you know, the various game consoles and portable game players. I mean, there's a Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Lord of the Rings.
Batman.
I'm sure. Oddly enough, there's no Star Trek, which I found odd. But just about every franchise I can think of has got, I mean, there's Harry Potter. And next to the Pokemon cartridges that litter the house that I keep stepping on, this is probably the second biggest thing that she's got is all these franchise modules. And she plays them constantly, so I think those will go over well.
I hear the Lego video games are actually a lot better than they look at first glance. They're actually more engaging.
Yeah. Yep. I can confirm that. They're kind of wacky fun. There's a lot of, you know, you can't really lose, so it's just about like just kind of messing around and trying to find ways to get all the little bits and pieces that they've scattered all over the game.
They're super fun. Because it's not making you do, you know, it's just lighthearted fun is what it is. I've got like the Star Wars collection or something. So it's like three or four different of the Lego Star Wars games. And they're just a blast to play.
Yes, I agree. No? And that does it for me.
Okay. So we gotta round out the list with some extra stuff. On Amazon now, you can actually there's a company called Thomas, and Thomas is a food company. They do lots of different things, and they now sell for $8 six pre-sliced everything bagels ready to go.
What?
And you can have those shipped right to you. They also are doing a New York style plain bagel. Those are $9.99. And then you have the New York style blueberry bagels, which are $7.99. So you can get lots of different, and apparently these are New York style. So it's got to be like the genuine New York bagel is what I'm assuming. You can get, if you don't have one yet, or if you have a friend who doesn't have one, you can get a bagel biter, which is essentially a bagel guillotine to slice the bagels in half. Now, if you're ordering the Thomas's bagels, those are pre-sliced. So the pre-sliced ones, you're not going to need a guillotine for. But if, for example, you decide to buy, there is a cookbook. It's the Nitty Gritty Cookbook. And it's all about how the best bagels are made at home. So if you're going to make your own bagels, of course, first you got to ship in water from New York. I'm going to let you handle that however you're going to do that. But then you can make your bagels at home. And then you're going to need the guillotine, so you can slice the bagels properly, because you know you don't want to slice a bagel apparently with a knife. That's just not the New York way, I guess. You got to have that guillotine.
That's not about the New York way. It's just easy. You end up crushing the bagel.
I guess
not if you do it right.
Now there's apparently some different thoughts on how to heat the bagel. So you can get one of those, you know, four toaster thingy with the extra wide and stick the bagel down in there and kind of toast it. Or for $30, again on Amazon, you can get the Hamilton Beach Breakfast Sandwich Maker, which will actually, you put the bagel in there.
That's not as good as George Foreman.
It's not, but it's similar to George Foreman. This thing looks like it was made to burn a small child. Yeah,
I personally only use kitchen appliances endorsed by former heavyweight champions.
Gotcha.
That's my rule of thumb.
Well, this one, it still looks cool. I mean, it'll heat the whole thing. If you use the guillotine first and slice the bagel, then you could put something in between and then put it in the Hamilton Beach thing and heat the whole thing together, which would be kind of cool. You could like melt some cheeses on there or something. I don't know if you're supposed to put cheese on your New York bagel, but apparently this is something you could do. They're also selling a 3-pack bundle of bagel spices.
I think that's blasphemy.
Now, I've never actually had a bagel spice before. They're fat-free, number one. And fat-free, but 5 calories per serving. And it looks like, let me see if I can actually zoom in here. Does it zoom? No, it doesn't actually zoom. But you got three different spices here. Obviously, that's cool. I've never put spices on there. One of them is the original recipe. It's got onion, garlic, sesame seeds. Yeah, that doesn't look very good. The other one is sea salt flakes. And then the third one is a zesty jalapeno. So if you're a New Yorker who's been transplanted to, like, say, Houston, Texas, for example, and you've gotten a little bit spicier now, you could use the jalapeno spice. You guys are cracking me up. Anyway, so yeah, and just to round out the whole genre thing, if you are a genre fan, more than likely you have a pet. And you can get the Majestic Pet 52-inch suede bagel dog bed. And that is only $78.
Great, you killed someone. Way to go.
Or child bed.
I will comment that at the bagel place nearest me that's actually any good, they have packages of old, like supermarket bagels in a box labeled dog bagels.
Oh, that hurt. Hey, one thing I would add, I don't have it in front of me, but I'll send you the link. I did notice that somebody is selling a Watchman Rorschach toaster that will toast a Rorschach pattern onto your bread.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Now, how many people are going to get that and then suddenly claim they've seen the face of insert religious leader here?
Well, I know they already make a toaster that will put Jesus and or Mary on your bread. So,
will it put it on a bagel, though?
Well, part of it. There'll be a hole in the middle. But
clip Jesus' nose. There's a hole. Jesus the clown, it would look like. That may be blasphemy.
It might be.
Delicious Alrighty. Blasphemy.
I want to thank you guys for coming on. Do we have any final thoughts? Let's go around. Rhea, any final thoughts?
Now I want a bagel.
And what's your preferred toppings on a bagel?
Butter.
Butter. Interesting. I've never actually done butter on a bagel.
Please tell me you're being sarcastic.
I am not. It's usually cream cheese.
You therefore have to try butter on a bagel, because get it all nice and warm and it's just dripping right off.
And just any of those from like the grocery store?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Give people one more time, website and social media and all that good stuff.
You can find me on bibliotropic.net, which is my blog. I'm bibliotropic on Twitter, and you can search for that on Facebook as well and find me there.
Very cool. Django, same thing. Final thoughts and all your social media stuff.
Now I'm hungry. That's all I can really say. I'm going to go get something, but not bagels. Because this is Waffles. Seattle. We don't have bagels here. You can find me at Django Wexler, Django with a D, DjangoWexler, DjangoWexler.com, at Django Wexler on Twitter, author Django Wexler on Facebook. You can also, here on SF Signal, I've got my column Lost in Anime Land, if you're interested in anime, which I think the new one just went up today. Today as of when I'm recording this, which will be at some point in your past, listeners. And that's it. That's all I have. The only proper thing you can put on a bagel is cream cheese and, you know, lox or fish if you're into that sort of thing, but I'm not.
Jeff Patterson 11 on Twitter. I am currently posting links to all of my various holiday stories, one every weekday leading up to the week before Christmas, and I'll be putting my new holiday story up probably around the 20th or 21st, depending. It will also be available at Gravity Lens, which is at baddaystudio.com, and I'm going to create a toaster which burns the Three Horsemen logo onto bread when needed. So.
Well, I prefer a toasted everything bagel with cream cheese, lox, thin slices of onion, and some tomato. Hold the lettuce, please. And I can be found at Bernal Alpha, B-R-N-A-L Alpha, and on Twitter as @FredKish. And I'm also a tumbling guy now.
All right. So thanks, everybody. I also want to throw out, just in case, if you are a genre fan who has a baby in the house, there is a I Heart Bagels onesie.
Oh, my God.
And if you are an entrepreneur and you are thinking, hey, you know what? A bagel shop in Houston, that's what I want to do. There is Printed Tree Publishing has a bagel shop business plan bundle. Everything you need to know to start your own bagel shop for just $39.95. All righty. So thanks, everybody.
Okay. Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the SF Signal podcast. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the link to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com, and you can also search SF Signal in iTunes to find the feed. To comment about this or any of our podcast episodes, please call our voicemail line at 720-277-9082. If you enjoyed this podcast, help us boost the signal by telling your friends. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal regulars offer up new content every day, from weekly mind melts featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SFNF field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, new author spotlights, movie reviews, videos, science fiction, fantasy, and horror tidbits, free fiction roundups, and the new genre-related crowdfunding roundups. Click the RSS button in the sidebar to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Angry robot.
Wah, wah. Thinking and crap.
And scene.